Hello and welcome to Last Week in AWS. Let's dive right on in. AWS CodeBuild announces support for reserved capacity. And that certainly didn't take long because last week I mentioned just how much I love CodeBuild for running containers with a minimum of fuss. And now it supports reserved capacity to make it even more economical. Yay! AWS Config supports 22 new resource types, which is great and awesome, except for the fact that it charges per rule evaluation. So this means that things just got a bit more expensive than you would have hoped it would be. And it happens by surprise. Originally, Config charged $5 per rule per month, and that was annoying for some folks. But now it's become such a massive driver for dynamic environments that it becomes increasingly hard to recommend. Yes, at reInvent, they wound up announcing daily recording instead of as-it-happens recording, which saves money sometimes. But you've got to know it's there. It has to meet your use case. And frankly, it's not customer-focused. AWS Transfer Family provides static IP addresses for SFTP connectors. Great, you know, the thing I asked for many years ago, where I want a static IP because the customers who need Transfer Family to provide an SFTP endpoint for people they're interacting with that feeds into S3 want to put something into a firewall, and those things never support DNS. So now it's a static IP. Great, awesome. Historically, you had to use something like either Global Accelerator or an NLB, and now it supports it natively, long past the point we all needed it. Thanks. It's a good feature, but it's way too late. Glide for Redis, an OSS Redis client sponsored by AWS, is now available in preview. It's an open source client for Redis. Now, when I first saw this, I assumed it was because of some weird Redis licensing thing, because that's usually why AWS does open source things. But as usual, their blog post didn't announce a damn thing. So that was, you know, great and all. And I dug into it. No, it's just because the open source Redis client scene is a freaking joke. But when they don't say what they mean, what are we supposed to assume on these things? They don't get it. And that's kind of sad. AWS Marketplace features to accelerate your renewal strategy. Long story short, you can now use the Marketplace to pre-schedule a purchase, which means that when things renew, you don't have just an option of auto-renew for all time, or it runs out, you smack into a wall and frantically have to renew it. It's a nice middle ground. Good work. Amazon EKS extended support for Kubernetes versions pricing. Yeah. Stupid title. Let's talk about what it really means because it's actually kind of awesome. 14 months after a Kubernetes version is supported in EKS, if you have not upgraded to the newer versions, the control plane will now go from costing you 10 cents an hour to 60 cents an hour, a 6x increase. And this is great. Kubernetes is clearly a rapidly evolving technology. So installing the current version and never touching it again causes negative externalities to basically everyone. So if that's you, congratulations, you now get to pay cash money in return for that. So you bear some of the cost. This is great. Keep out or find a better solution. If you don't want to run modern Kubernetes and modern infrastructure, but still want to run containers, that's what Red Hat OpenShift on AWS is for. Legacy container companies trying to pretend that they're modern. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm Cloud Economist Corey Quinn, and this is the AWS Morning Brief / Last Week in AWS podcast. Please stay salty.